From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. When the U.S. Supreme Court overturned its precedent of Roe against Wade last summer, a number of states responded by pledging they would become sanctuaries for abortion rights. Illinois was among their number, and it's become something of an island in the Midwest, surrounded by states that have been ratcheting up anti-abortion laws. But what happens when a city in Illinois wants to go against the prevailing view among state officials? That is the case in Danville, which last week passed a city ordinance that would ban the shipping of abortion medication and tools in an effort to become a quote-unquote sanctuary city for the unborn. But experts and state officials argue the ordinance is illegal, and a court fight could be coming to the city in east central Illinois near the Indiana border. Joining us now to talk about the ordinance is Scarlett O'Hara, reporter for WCIA-TV in Champaign. Scarlett, welcome to the 21st Show.
Thank you for having me.
Also with us is Farrah Anderson, who covered the story for Illinois Public Media. Farrah, welcome back to the show to you.
Thanks again for having me.
And later in the program, we'll be joined by an attorney with the American Civil Liberties Union of Illinois. For now, you can join our conversation at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. If you have a question or comment on what Danville is trying to do, again, 800-222-9455. Farrah, I want to begin with you. This all starts in Indiana, actually, right? Talk more about that.
Sure. So there was a protest about a month ago now saying that an Indiana abortion provider had purchased facility in Danville and wanted to open an abortion clinic. And there was a lot of pushback from Danville residents about this decision. Even Mayor Williams announced this at a city council meeting. And there was a protest about a month ago where people were protesting against this decision and saying that they were going to do anything they could to stop this abortion clinic from coming. And that was where it was kind of teased that an ordinance like this might come from Mark Lee Dixon, who's a pretty prominent pro-life activist, and saying that, you know, an ordinance was going to come that was going to try to make it impossible for this abortion clinic to start. So this was something that was on the horizon and wasn't a surprise that it was going to come. But I think it was a surprise that it actually passed, just basically because of all of the legal threats from different agencies throughout the state.
Scarlett, I want to bring you into the conversation now. So Danville officials do not like or did not like the idea of this abortion clinic moving into town. How did they respond?
They were pretty split down the middle, actually, in half and half when this ordinance was being voted on last week. The vote came down to Mayor Ricky Williams, who ended up pushing this forward. I would say the aldermen who were against it felt that, based on responses from the constituents, that they did not want an abortion facility in Danville. This was how they felt they needed to move forward and represent the constituents. And those who were against it primarily were concerned about the legal threats and the potential financial liability that they were taking on by moving it forward.
So I understand the ordinance, it really went after mailed medication instead of just banning abortion outright. Why did they take that approach?
So when I sat down with Mark Lee Dixon, who drafted the ordinance, he called it a de facto abortion ban rather than an explicit abortion ban. And these ordinances can look different per city that they write them for. And in Danville specifically, I believe they felt this was just the most fitting thing, that they could prevent abortions in their tracks. They could prevent institutions from coming in, receiving the supplies that they would need to perform them, and that would be how to get it done in Danville.
All right, Farrah, you shared some sound from your reporting. Let's take a listen to what James Simon, who is an attorney for the Danville City Council, had to say about the legality of the abortion ordinance.
I do not believe under Illinois law or federal law that this ordinance is legal.
Okay, and again, that is the attorney, the attorney for the city of Danville. So Farrah, what does this say, or I should say, what does the Illinois Reproductive Health Act say that would make this ordinance illegal?
Yeah, so the Reproductive Health Act, you know, pretty explicitly says that, you know, places in Illinois cannot restrict abortion, and that Illinois citizens have a right to make their own decisions about reproductive health. So it pretty explicitly goes against the Reproductive Health Act by trying to restrict abortion. And again, that's kind of what the lawyer for the Danville City Council said. That's what the ACLU has said. That's what, you know, Attorney General Kwame Raoul have said. You know, this is not something that the Danville City Council was unaware of when they passed this ordinance. And I think it really comes down to, you know, who was willing to kind of take on those legal threats, and who kind of thought that this might be too much of a liability for the city.
All right, let's take and listen to another piece of tape. And I guess I should mention, we did reach out to Alderwomen Carolyn Wands and Sharon Pickering to be on our program today. We had requested a comment from Pickering. She did not follow up, and we didn't hear from Carolyn in time to air. We do have tape, though, of Alderwoman Sharon Pickering on why she voted for the ordinance. Let's listen to that.
If I thought for 1 minute my no vote would end an infant's life, I could not live with myself. How can I put a dollar amount on life? I can't, and I won't.
All right, Scarlett, what else did you hear from people on the anti-abortion side of this? I understand there were protesters out there.
Yes. So on Tuesday, we saw a lot of protesters from both sides, and particularly on the pro-life side, we saw some religious arguments that they disagreed with abortion, that it was against their Christian faith. Some people voiced that there's a large Christian population in Danville that didn't want to see this happen in their own community. And this was something that came up in my conversation with Mark Lee Dixon as well. He met with some pastors in the community. He's a pastor himself. And that was pretty influential in his decision to help. And I think a lot of people support, and there were specific groups as well that came out in numbers and had signs that were condemning abortion and condemning the abortion facility from potentially moving to the city. So that was a lot of what we saw on the pro-life side, whereas on the pro-choice side, we see signs that were saying abortion is healthcare, separation of church and state, and I would say that there was a great turnout from both sides in terms of numbers.
Farah, I understand you spoke with someone as well from the, speaking of healthcare, the association that represents Illinois pharmacists. What did they have to say about the ordinance?
Yeah, so it's not just the legality of, you know, banning abortions, but they were also saying that this act could violate the Illinois Pharmacy Practice Act, and saying that, you know, you can't ban a lot of these medications because they have a lot of other uses. They can be used to treat miscarriages, arthritis, you know, lots of different things that might not have anything to do with you know, reproductive health or abortions in general. And they were saying, you know, this violates, you know, like this entire act. We're not going to be able to get these medications that people need. And so that was a big point of contention. Even midwives and OBGYN practices got up and were, you know, were saying, you know, you can't ban these. These are medications that we use every day, and people need them. And so that was kind of another thing that it might not have been focused on very much, but definitely came up during the city council meeting.
All right, let's listen to one more clip from your reporting. This is Danville Alderwoman Tricia Teague talking about the ordinance.
So if I get these drugs because I had another fibroid procedure, because they keep growing back, then I would be in violation.
Vera, how did the, you know, other older people respond to this? Did they take this into account?
You know, they didn't really directly respond to a lot of these comments, which I think is really interesting. Tricia Teague was one of the aldermen that was really, you know, speaking out and saying, you know, hey, some of these things that we need to look at, it's not just about abortion. We need to be looking at, you know, how far is our reach? So they weren't really directly responding to some of these comments about medication and, you know, how these medications could be used in other ways, not just in abortions or reproductive health care at all.
All right, let's get to the heart of where one of the places this really came from. And Scarlett, you spoke with Mark Lee Dixon, who's the founder of a group called Sanctuary Cities for the Unborn. He helped spearhead this ordinance. Talk about him. What did he have to say?
So this all came about in 2019 in Wascom, Texas. He told me that there was an abortion clinic from Shreveport, Louisiana, that had planned to move over the border into Wascom in a very similar situation to what we're seeing now, right? We're seeing this abortion clinic that may move from Indianapolis over into Danville. And the people of Wascom, he tells me, did not want that to happen. So he was in talks with the mayor, and he came up with this idea to help draft an ordinance. And he partnered with Jonathan Mitchell, also a Texas-based lawyer. And that was where their partnership really began, and things took off from there. Other cities in Texas saw what they were doing and joined the movement, and then moved to different states. And if you go to the Sanctuary Cities website, you'll see there's a little phrase there that comes up that says outlawing abortion one city at a time, and that appears to be the primary motivation for this movement.
Have we seen these ordinances popping up elsewhere, either in Illinois or around the country?
We have seen them around the country. He tells me there have been over 60 cities now that have had these ordinances. And I asked him about Illinois specifically, because that came up in conversation, where he tells me he's heard from other communities in the state that are interested in this sort of thing. He couldn't tell me exactly where. I asked more questions about that, and he says, who's to say that one hasn't been drafted already, one being another ordinance? So I wouldn't be surprised if in the near future we see this come up on the agenda of another city council in Illinois.
Farah, how are state-level officials responding to this? I think I saw that Attorney General Kwame Ruhl had issued a statement.
Yeah, so several state officials are speaking out against this ordinance, saying that it's illegal, and they're kind of evaluating next steps. J.B. Pritzker also released a statement saying that it clearly violates the Reproductive Health Act, which he signed in 2019. So we have state officials that kind of are saying, you know, we're looking at this, this is on our radar, and you can expect action because this is clearly violating the rules that we're meant to enforce.
All right. Farah Anderson is with Illinois Public Media. Scarlett O'Hara is with WCIA-TV. Thank you so much for being with us today on the 21st Show.
Thanks for having us.
And if you're just joining us, we're talking about a move in Danville, Illinois, last week in East Central Illinois near the Indiana border to basically pass a city ordinance that would outlaw the shipping of medication used for abortions in that community. We're joined now by Chandra White, who is Senior Supervising Attorney for the American Civil Liberties Union of Illinois, to talk about the legality of what they were trying to do. Chandra, so we heard the facts there from Scarlett and Farah. From the ACLU's perspective, what does the ordinance do that is so troubling?
Well, the ordinance is essentially purports to prevent an abortion clinic from operating in Danville, right? So while it's not an outright prohibition on abortion, if you're preventing the mailing of abortive fashions and the abortion paraphernalia, an abortion clinic cannot function. What we know is that it is without question that Illinois law protects reproductive rights, including abortion rights. Abortion is a fundamental right in Illinois. And the Reproductive Health Act tells us that an individual has a right to make autonomous decisions about their reproductive health, including abortion, without governmental interference. And that's what is so important here, is that the government is attempting to interfere with the rights of Danville citizens by putting this ordinance into place.
And I understand that council members added language to the ordinance saying that it wouldn't take effect until the city, quote, obtains a declaratory judgment from a court, end quote. Is that legal? Does the law work that way? Can you talk about that?
Right. So this was a last minute addition. It was surprising that this amendment was placed on the ordinance. It felt very rushed, and a lot of the council members were voicing their concerns that it was rushed. Obviously, we're taking another look at the ordinance. There's been some discussion of what this amendment actually does to the ordinance. I think the important thing to realize is that it is still causing confusion to folks seeking care. And in addition, regardless of what the amendment says, it's the intent of the city of Danville through their council and through the proponents of this ordinance that they prevent this clinic from opening and operating. They want this ordinance to go into place. Whether they file an affirmative lawsuit to seek that declaratory judgment or fight it in court, we can't allow the ordinance to take effect because it is illegal and it's unenforceable. And we certainly can't allow this to spread to other communities. So regardless of what the amendment purports to do, it is very unclear what it actually can do under the law. And it's we're taking another hard look at that amendment to try to figure out next steps about how to navigate what the amendment purports to say and what it actually means.
Yeah. All right. We're going to talk a little bit more about this when we come back. If you're holding on the phone line, please hold on. We'll come to you right after the break. If you want to join our conversation, the number is 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. We're talking about the city of Danville's attempts to limit abortion there in apparent contravention of state law. More to come after a short break. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us. This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. If you're just joining us, we're talking about the new Danville City Ordinance that aims to ban the shipment of abortion medication and tools there. Earlier in the program, we heard from two reporters who have been covering it, and we're now talking with Chandra White, who is Senior Supervising Attorney for the American Civil Liberties Union of Illinois, to talk about the legality of the ordinance. I should also say we did invite two of the alderwomen, Carolyn Wands and Sharon Pickering, who supported this. Pickering declined to be on the program. We did request a comment, but did not hear back, and we'd never heard from Wands before air anyway. If you want to join our conversation today, the number is 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. And let's go now to the phones. Jim is calling in from Urbana on line four. Jim, thank you for holding. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, good morning. I'm calling because, I mean, Danville has so many issues that they need to be working on. I just looked at a survey as one of the worst places to live as an African-American. Danville is number four in the nation. The schools are abysmal. Unemployment is high. And the city council is worrying about abortion. And they say it's a Christian thing to do. The Christian thing to do is to make Danville livable for Latinos and African-Americans and people who need help for work, for all kinds of things. Danville ought to do the work instead of using this red herring of abortion as a rallying cry for the craziness that's going on in the United States today. Care about people. Abortion is a very, very small issue. It's not nowhere in the Bible. If they keep coming up with that, it's not in the Bible. And in the Hebrew Bible, it says it's okay to have an abortion. What about people of Jewish faith? I just have a lot to say, but I mean, I know.
Sure. You know, and that's actually an issue we've talked about on the program before. It's, people want to look that conversation up about specifically Jewish faith and abortion. But Jim, thank you so much for calling in to share your perspective today on this issue. Appreciate it. If anyone else wants to call in and share their perspective, the number is 800-222-9455. So Chandra White with the ACLU of Illinois, what do you think about other types of ordinances popping up across the U.S. or even more in Illinois? And I can't help but also think of, you know, downstate cities that declared themselves, you know, sort of COVID mask sanctuaries or weapons sanctuaries in recent years. Do you see a pattern here?
Yeah, I see what you're getting at. And I do understand the pattern and the desire for communities to self-govern. That being said, the RHA is very clear that a local municipality cannot create its own law that is more restrictive than the RHA. It's plain in the language.
This is the Reproductive Health Act, the state law.
The Reproductive Health Act. It's plain in the language of the statute. Now, that being said, I expect that we may see some more of these potential sanctuary city ordinance popping up in Illinois, and we'll be prepared to challenge them when and if they do pop up. This outsider activist from Texas wants to spread this message around, wants to spread this effort around as much as he can. And so I have no doubt that we'll see more efforts like this one, and we will have the same approach, and we'll have the same law under our belt that simply forbids this from happening.
Part of this ordinance apparently says that it would be enforced through word of mouth. You know, one of our producers this morning brought up the Arthur Miller play, The Crucible, when we were talking about this. What do you think about that aspect of this?
That was something that was frightening the residents of Danville. There were a lot of people who opposed this ordinance who were horrified to hear the police chief at the Public Works Committee hearing where this was first discussed talk about how the ordinance could be enforced by citizen reports or by folks calling in. And that leads to a lot more issues, privacy concerns and concerns of, you know, citizen reporting that we haven't even broached that topic yet. But the enforceability of the ordinance has always been called into question, especially by the opponents of the ordinance and even by some of the proponents of the ordinance said, how are we ever going to enforce this without people just calling in and claiming that abortion paraphernalia has been arriving in the mail? Now, the mayor, said, okay, well, we're not going to go through your mail. Don't worry about that. But realistically and seriously, how is this ordinance ever going to be enforced without the invasion of privacy of citizens into their personal health information?
What is next, legally speaking, here? Do you anticipate a court filing from which side, I guess?
So we're talking to a lot of people. We are considering all of our options right now and evaluating the next steps. At this point, we know that this ordinance is illegal and that it needs to be challenged and that action can be expected. What that's going to look like is not necessarily something that we're talking about yet, but it is certainly something that we're deciding and evaluating.
Bottom line, if someone is in Danville right now, this ordinance, you know, has been approved narrowly. The mayor cast the tie-breaking vote. What does somebody who wants to procure, misoprostol and mifepristone, what do they need to know?
Well, what they need to know, first of all, is that abortion remains safe and legal in Illinois. It's certainly our position, and it's this law of the land, that they can receive abortion care and they can receive health care. Apparently, this ordinance, the amendment to the ordinance, indicates that it is not in effect at this time. So even insofar as someone is a proponent of this ordinance, it's not in effect currently. So the law in the state of Illinois remains that a person is able to receive abortion care and is able to receive pills like misoprostol and mifepristone without any fear of prosecution.
All right, we have another caller on the line. Rich is calling in from Champaign on line one. Rich, thanks for calling in briefly.
My pleasure. Hello, everybody. Yeah, my pleasure is here's where the abortion whole thing kind of like falls apart. You can't tell somebody else what to do. So if you don't want them to have the fetus be born, you need to go to court and become the guardian ad litem. We have the right of happiness. So I'm kind of like in the middle on this, but the whole thing falls apart because you don't have the right to tell somebody what they can do and what they can't do. If they want to rob a bank, they can rob a bank. You can tell them not to rob a bank, and if you stop them, you might break a law. But the whole thing falls apart because you need to go to court. You need to have standing. You need to be the guardian ad litem of that fetus, of that unborn. And if the court gives you the right to be the guardian ad litem, then you can do something with it. But you can't just pass a law. And here's it real quickly. Why don't we pass a law that everybody has to give up a kidney? That saves lives, too. So that whole save life argument, that falls apart because we're not going to tell people to start giving up their body parts to save other people. And there's 80,000 people, aren't there 80,000 people waiting for a kidney? So you need to get standing. So this whole thing about having an abortion law, It just doesn't work. It's just people monetizing other people to make money or whatever they're doing. But you need to be the guardian ad litem of that fetus or that infant, just like you need to go to the court and get to be the guardian ad litem if it's a 3-year-old or 4-year-old or 5-year-old.
All right, Rich, thanks for sharing your perspective. Chandra White, I don't know if you want to respond to what Rich had to say there or just final thoughts for our listeners on this conversation.
I appreciate Rich calling in, but I do want to say that under the Reproductive Health Act, a fetus or a fertilized egg or an embryo does not have independent rights under the laws of the state. Appointing a guardian ad litem for a fetus is a legal problem, and it's something that we've fought against in the past. So while I appreciate Rich's comment that, you know, you can't tell folks what to do and you can't regulate people's bodies, there are some legal considerations there that I just wanted to kind of make a correction on.
All right. Chandra White is Senior Supervising Attorney for the American Civil Liberties Union of Illinois. Thank you so much for being with us today on the 21st Show.
Thank you so much for having me.